Well, Thursday, 22nd of June, marks 40 years since the Congregationalist, Methodist and Presbyterian churches merged to form the Uniting Church in Australia. It's a uniquely Australian expression of Protestant Christianity. They have nearly 100,000 worshippers on a Sunday, which is significant, but that does represent a reduction of 40% since 1991. That might not be the whole story, though. I spoke with Stuart McMillan, leader of the Uniting Church.
We've always referred to ourselves as a movement rather than a denomination, a pilgrim people on the way, something that was going to embrace further union. And that helped the church to move from a self-focused denominational survival mode to a outward-focused about others mode.
What was the key purpose? You said it's not a denomination. What's the key purpose of the Uniting Church after 40 years?
It's Christ that constitutes and rules and renews the church, and that the church is on about Christ's mission, which is the reconciliation and renewal of the whole creation.
It's a big church in one sense. I think there's a million odd on the census, it says, and maybe you get 10% of those to church on a Sunday, so there's 97,000 on a Sunday. But since 1977, that membership has dropped, I think 40%, according to censuses within the church. Now, that's challenging stuff. What's going on there, in your view?
That is challenging stuff. Oh, I think that's a reflection of Anglo-Celtic Australia, that personal spiritual journey that people might take rather than the corporate community that the church is intended to be. The other side of those statistics, though, are the growing cultural diversity of our church. I was just at our Tongan National Conference.
Which was enormous. I remember being struck by how many people were
1,500
present.
People from all over the nation. On the Friday night that I was there, 15 youth groups, some of them as large as 100, some of them 20 or 30 young people.
Indigenous people. Now, they're mentioned in the preamble to your constitution. They play a significant role. You yourself are very connected to this part of this church through your own ministry. What role do you see the Uniting Church playing after the Uluru Statement, where Indigenous leaders opted for treaty and not constitutional? Where's that going to sit?
At the last assembly in 2015, our national gathering that we have every 3 years, we agreed that we would spend this 3 years that we're in the middle of now having a conversation about what it would mean to recognise First Peoples as sovereign for our practices as church. Publicly, during the last 18 months or more, I've called for treaty. We're seeking to recognise a wrong and to correct it.
In one sense, you can argue, or you could argue from a media point of view, that the Uniting Church has backed quite a number of progressive political causes, with not only Indigenous rights, but it talks openly about asylum seekers. It runs a medically supervised injecting room at King's Cross.
I don't reflect in those terms.
Right.
I think what we are is Christ-centred. If Christ was on about the marginalised, then as Christians, as the followers of Christ, we need to be on about the marginalised. And that's not because we support a particular side of the political spectrum. We speak into the policy debate.
The church hasn't been without its controversies over 40 years. And I mentioned the gay and lesbian issue. In your To 40 and Beyond message, you said the church has declared that a person's sexual orientation should not be a bar to full participation or leadership in the life of our church. Where does that sit? There are confessing congregations. There are different points of view. You're the president. How does that go forward now?
Yeah, and we have a great diversity of theological perspectives around sexuality and gender. What the Assembly said in that 2015 meeting, and in my pastoral letter to the church post that meeting, was that LGBTIQ people are full members of our church. We affirmed that. We apologised in that pastoral letter for any pain and hurt that had been caused to anyone in the previous years. And we're holding a space, which we call a space for grace, at this time for our own internal conversations about marriage and what marriage means, more broadly than just the subject of same-gender marriage and the nature of relationships and healthy relationships.
Do you see a timescale of outcome yet?
I don't fully, but we will need to report to the next assembly in July 2018.
When we talked earlier about the Uniting Church being post-denominational, we don't go Anglican, Catholic, Uniting Church in the same way. The Uniting Church sees itself as not trying to be in a denominational model. You have a unique relationship with the Chinese post-denominational church, the Official Church of China. How did that come about?
Through a request of the church in China, particularly to our Uniting Care Network, in that the government was looking for the church to provide services for aging people in China. The one-child policy and a whole lot of other policies in China had led to a social issue for China. And our church, being the largest provider of aged care services in Australia, was approached by the China Christian Council to give them some capacity building in the social services area.
Well, you have professors teaching in Nanjing Theological Seminary, which is the central seminary for Protestant teaching. Now, that's a high level of acceptance going on there.
That is, and that began through a joint conference. So in 2013, I was there in Nanjing, and out of that has grown this theological engagement.
Now, in one sense, you've explained that your engagement with China has been about a demographic thing. It's a shift of family, aged care, change and need. Now, that affects your own church, though, profoundly over 40 years. In terms of growth or not, future or not, replacing those who are growing older, what sort of strategies, what sort of thoughts are going on within your leadership currently?
I say constantly that the Holy Spirit is transforming our church into a truly intercultural community. And by that I mean, rather than the different migrant communities operating in monocultural ways, the church is being transformed and changed. So that's how we're being formed into a new community with a richness coming from the different cultures.
Stuart McMillan, President of the Uniting Church Assembly.